going down? This is Donnie Houston Podcast. I am Donnie Houston. Check it out, man. We're in a special location. You know what I'm saying? We got two special guests today, and I'm joined today by Coop and Justin, man, the owners of OST Liquor, 3928 Old Spanish Trail, right here in Houston, Texas. What's going down?
What's good? What's good? What's good? Happy to be on the podcast with you, my man.
What's up?
Chilling, man. So what's going down? What's new with y'all, man? Well, we did the lunch just recently. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. What's new? So what's new is this fire ass Donnie motherfucking Houston double cup cocktail. This thing is actually, I'm sipping on it right now. It's a hitter.
Yeah.
It's a hitter. I like it.
For sure, man. So I guess how often do y'all do these type of things? Because I've had people ask me, like, how did you do this? And, you know, we put it together, but like, how often do y'all even do these type of collaborations?
This is probably what, our second one?
Yeah, like one? Second or third. Yeah. It's select, man. We make a ton of different double cup cocktails, but the people that we've partnered with, like the two people, that's including you, it has to make sense. You feel me? You know, we still want to be protective of like our brand, like kind of what we're doing with double cup cocktails.
Yeah.
It just has to be a good feeling. You feel me? I think a lot of the business we do.
And like, it's all organic. We don't push to make something. It's just like,
yeah.
We vibe and then. Yeah, just super organic. It's not forced, like, hey, we need to look for this person, so let's call them so we can make a double cup cocktail. No, it's not like that. It's more like conversation and let's do something.
Yeah.
We
never hunt or scout like a person has a big influencer and just, I don't work like that.
Yeah, we wanted to be organic and keep the integrity because that's what we do. You feel me? We like the organicness and the vibes that we create, so. It's probably a lot less financial and a lot more like you know, feel me? We got to just be on good wavelengths and with people, you feel me? So
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, even, like I said, I make it a point to say when I talk about OST, man, black-owned liquor store, just talk about, I mean, first of all, how long have y'all been around? Like a year or so? Not too long, right?
June 27th.
Yeah, we opened up on June 27th, you feel me? A historic.
On purpose, too.
Yeah, exactly.
2020, though, we got to be clear.
June 27th, 2020. The iconic June 27th, I like to say, if you're from Houston or know anything about Houston culture, you feel me, you know why that's iconic to our city. But yeah, it's only like 7 months going on. It's about to be 7 months been open. We opened actually during the pandemic.
That's what I was going to say, opening in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah. So we got the keys to the whip, you feel me, before they shut the city down. So, you know, it was kind of a little nerve-wracking at first, but man, we still here.
Doing pretty good.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
So were y'all planning the June 27th launch, or did that just happen to fall that way?
Man,
I think once we got the green light,
it was.
We had a window, but I guess like it was gonna be sometime in the summer. We said, "Fuck, it's gonna be June 20th. If it's gonna be, it can't be no June 20th. It can't be no June 30th. We're gonna make it the 27th and
make it
a big thing."
We for sure had an idea. We figured that it would be sometime in June. We didn't know because we obviously waiting on permitting and stuff to come through, and then cities were shut down, so we had probably a lot longer to go through the process, but. When we got the green light, it was early June, so we was like, we're going to do this right.
And it's almost like almost everything we're about. We're a liquor store for the community, for the culture. We understand the culture. We understand Houston culture.
Right.
That's why June 27th is big to us. It's it's just being at the community's liquor store, having the same, being on the same wavelength. Because, you know, we have these other liquor stores that... stereotypically, they're probably like 60, 70-year-old, either Middle Eastern, Asian, just, you know, foreign people, at least in these corner stores that sell alcohol, liquor stores.
Yeah, that's a big piece of it, you feel me? They come in, viable business and liquor, but, you know, they look at it as, you know, a business only, you know, and kind of take. And that's not what we're really about, you feel me? I think that was the biggest thing. When we first talked about it and just, like, wanted to do this particular business venture, was like, let's give something to our community that we can. One, that we frequent a lot, you know what I'm saying, but that we can also give them a better experience. You feel me? Me and Justin's background coming from, you know, Focus and Spirits on the on-premise side, bartending and stuff. But we just wanted to give people a better experience, you feel me? Especially, like he said, you know, you go to these spots.
Our good old TSU days, we started drinking in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
We opened up June 27th, 2020, but we ain't new to the game. I mean, we grew up when I say grew up from like 17, 18 as, you know, young freshman, going to TSU.
Going to that Ralston right there.
Going to Ralston.
Other little liquor store in CUNY Homes we used to go to. Shout out to them. They used to knock card your boy.
No comment.
No name. We don't know what it is, but you feel me? Shout out to y'all. You feel me? But
yeah, but besides Ralston's, man, all these other liquor stores, these are like a older Indian guy, older Asian person, Middle Eastern person. We would go in, you would order behind a bulletproof glass window.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's just the norm of it. We think that's normal. And then,
but you got to think about the message that sends. Like, I can come here and create this business in y'all's neighborhood, but I don't completely feel safe. And you guys, that draws the line between.
Exactly. And that's what I say. They don't get the culture.
They don't get it.
Yeah. The culture. They're more scared of us. Yeah, I mean, they're scared of it. That's what it is. That's why you put a bulletproof glass window.
Yeah.
And you don't really have that dialogue or the monologue, whatever. You don't really talk to them. They just say, hey, man, you bring up any bottle, you point, it costs $25, $50.
Yeah, it's very, very transactional.
And have a nice day. And what, if you want some good alcohol, if you want to learn about something, hey, man, I want to make something cool, let me go to Total Wines or Specs to get that service.
Yes.
And, like, why would you have to go all the way there to get good service?
Yeah, you got to leave your community, leave your neighborhood where you feel comfortable to go get some, quote-unquote, better quality service. Because just because these people have this business, you know, it's a business. They're transactional. They got, you know, these layers of walls that disconnect them from the actual culture. You know, do they have good pricing? Probably. You feel me? But that's all they can tell you. You ask them about a brand, like, yo, what is Hennessy? Oh, it's a cognac. Well, how is it made? How many years of age? They probably can't go that far, but they could tell you, hey, shit, this is $41.99. And they could tell you how much money they made off that bottle. But for us, it was just like a little deeper than that, you feel me? Yeah,
but were y'all having experiences at these places that kicked off this thought of, like, you know what?
For sure. I think, I'll just say for me. So we also own a TNCB supply store with my wife. And it's the same concept, right? You go to these beauty supply stores, Korean owned. They're owned by people that don't look like us, and we patronize them a ton, and we get treated a certain way. You feel me? Sometimes it's not all bad interactions, but for the majority, you feel me? It's probably not the greatest.
You can tell it's just straight business.
Yeah, right. it's just straight business. You feel me? And they have figured out a niche in that particular industry. Like, and now they hire people that look like us to talk to them, but they're not for us. You feel me? And so, just looking at that type of, and whether it's cultural or whatever, but just looking at the type of customer service you get, and I went back to kind of like, when I go buy a liquor store, you know, how did it make me feel to go in there? Like, really, you know, I'm going to get, you know, drunk in college, you know, just get a bottle, but then I think about it back, like, man, it's normal for us to go and order through a little speaker and point at the bottle we want, they go grab it, but then you have an experience as you get older, you go to these bigger chains, and it's like, a dude with a white collar come up, hey man, how you doing, man? What you looking for today? Oh, you're looking at cognacs, I see. Yeah. Can I suggest you anything?
But you gotta, like, you gotta go out your way to go to those places. They're not liquor stores. In neighborhood liquor stores, you ask, dude, like, hey man, how's that? That new cognac that y'all just brought in. They're like, I don't drink, I don't know.
Exactly.
Like, all right. Or like, you can't go to your neighborhood liquor store.
Nah.
And like, hey, do you recommend a good tequila? Because 9 times out of 10, it's like, I don't know. All the kids are buying this. They're like, they didn't tell me anything.
Yeah, they don't tell you nothing about the spirit, the region it's from, the makeup of it. There's a lot more the technical pieces that interest us, and we want to make sure we educate our community and our consumers, so they can be smarter consumers. This is like any other product base. You feel me? We want to pass that knowledge that we've got onto them.
I guess what I also like to tell people, man, this is a liquor store curated by bartenders. Me and him are both bartenders, and being a bartender, man, you just know how to make cocktails. You know about the production of spirits and stuff like that. How long a tequila, the difference between a Blanco, a Repo, a Añejo, difference between a low-end, high-end, difference between a VSOP.
Okay, because you just lost me when you started talking about Repo.
No, I'm saying, like, that's
what,
how...
What is it that you were just talking about just now? Just for anybody who may be watching this, and they may be, you know, clueless as well.
Oh, yeah, so tequila, a lot of people don't know your Blanco is fresh out... It hasn't been barreled.
Yeah, it's fresh out of the still.
Distilled straight. That's why it's clear. Then Repo is anywhere from 2 months at the least. It's a lot of Repo means reposado, means rested. So it's in a barrel age for at least, at the very least 2 months. Some companies do it 6 months, 7 months. Añejo is any time over a year.
Yeah, it's like 12 to 14 months.
So it's going to be more of like a higher end type of
A little higher end. It's a little bit more energy.
Because it's aged, it's a lot smoother because a lot of ethanol is leaving there to get a lot of flavor from the barrel. It's aged and usually aged in ex-bourbon barrels.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that that we just know.
How do you even get this type of knowledge? Because it's just, this sounds like, as you say, okay, we come from bartending, but I don't, I wouldn't put a bartender to go this deep.
And it's a certain type of, like I said, like, I guess a certain type of bartending, and just like with any other craft that's any, or any other, like, I guess, like career or trade, or, you know, you want to dive into the details about, you know, what's the makeup of that trade. So we just try to become experts in that piece of it, and learn more about the juice. I almost look at it like, you know, we got like this encyclopedia of different like flavor profiles and different types of spirits, and understanding the agricultural part of like where they are sourcing, you know, different grains and stuff like that. That's like, that stuff interests us, so that we dive deep. It's like nerds of spirits
and wine and beer. We're passionate about it. Yeah, we like alcohol.
I mean, yeah, yeah.
This is basically what I'm trying to get y'all to say.
Yeah, we love alcohol. You feel me? Yeah. And it started from, you know, the partying we were doing, and then as you get older, obviously you stop buying like fucking like Everclear and Taka and bullshit. You start drinking like, well, shit, I'm making a little more money. Let me drink for a little bit of taste. Whether that's because you're following a trend or whatever, you start to graduate.
Better quality stuff.
You feel me? Then
I always tell people, man, it's about drinking for tomorrow. You can drink the cheap shit you want, but you're gonna be sick tomorrow.
Drink for tomorrow. That's a fact.
That's a fact, man.
Drink for tomorrow, so you wake up feeling all right. Not like shit.
People. A lot of people drink for the moment, man. Ooh. Wake up the next day, hurting. You feel me? Tylenol and Pedialyte.
You just a little bit more money.
and that's something we talk to our, you know, that's why we're so interested in all those, like, I guess, like the nerdy things about spirits and wine and beer. But we want to make our consumers more educated about those things so they can make a better decision, right? You feel me? Yeah. Like, not just buying a brand because it's been branded to you and it's like subconsciously planted in your brain, but like, so that you understand, like, well,
and,
hey.
And it's, you know, natural. It's natural to us, man. We like talking about like alcohol, what they're going to buy. And sometimes they come in here. We know the process of the spirit, especially tequila. Someone comes in, I'm not going to say any names, but they'll go for this popular
super,
tequila.
Super popular.
That's
we sell a lot of y'all.
That definitely the name makes a big wave. But we say, hey man, why are you picking this particular tequila? Like, you have this. Well, are you a tequila connoisseur, or do you just like the price? Like, what do you like about it? He says, man, I like the way it tastes. I'm like, yo, bro, thing costs $50. There's another tequila, half the price. $25. It don't have the name, but it's cooked the same way.
Yeah.
It's an autoclave. Cooked exactly like this $50 one. Right now you're paying for the name.
Exactly.
But you could pay $25 less and have the same exact juice, probably even better. Or if you're a tequila connoisseur, man, don't waste your money. That shit ain't worth $50. Get this tequila. It's cooked in a brick and clay oven for 3 days. It's not an autoclave.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's literally the same price. This is a small batch tequila. Old traditional way, and then you wouldn't get that kind of game down the street.
Nah.
So hey, give me that $50 bottle. Just like, all right, here. Oh, we always ask people, or how are you drinking this tequila? Are you sipping it? Are you making margaritas?
Man, the biggest thing we've seen people do, and this is like, drinking is subjective, right? You do what you want, do what you love, but like there are some like guidelines, I guess you would say, like kind of like a big freeway. They try to stay on the freeway. But like, people are taking like these big brand names who are like super popular, and then it's like, what are you doing with that? You drinking that? Oh, you must be sipping that. Oh no, I'm putting pineapple juice in that. It's like, you putting pineapple juice in
and
a
we'll say like
$150 bottle of tequila or $100 bottle?
Yeah, they get stuck. Nah. They don't even know why they're drinking. I'll say like, some people even know why they like Classes or 1942.
Yeah, just like man,
I'm about to make me a margarita with this. It's
like, you gonna make a margarita?
You paying $150 for the pure taste of it. You ain't paying $150 to cut it with pineapple juice. That's fucking defeats the whole purpose.
Is this How much of a percentage of this of people just like not knowing and then just like getting caught up in the hype, like shit?
A lot.
So, I would say, you know, in our community, like, it's a lot. You feel me? It's so crazy. Like, diving down into like the base root of like spirits, understanding education, and then like what we're exposed to. It's deeper than just like, you know, somebody in a song saying something about a spirit. It goes back, you know, way before us. And that lack of knowledge about, you know, the spirits industry as far as how stuff is made, but then also like brands identifying like, hey, we can, you know, market to these people. This is an untapped green dollar spending people.
And we're big consumers too.
And we're loyal.
We'll talk about, like,
if you come into our neighborhood and you do something remotely just okay, right? We've been treated like shit probably for the generations of, you know, that we've been in America. You feel me? You treat us a little bit of good, you feel me? We have this like locked in loyalty. There's these brands where people can't even tell us why they like it, and it's like there's something that tastes better. It's better of quality,
yeah.
Not as expensive. Better of quality,
but they just.
But it's like, nah, bro. They don't. This is it. You feel me? Like, I was like, oh well, fuck. How do you break that? You have to. We try to break it through like education. Like, if I can pass on like the knowledge to somebody who's coming to our store to buy. Like, we're talking ourselves out of money, right? We could be in here making like, oh shit, get the big brand, $1.942. Shit, spend it. But we're like talking ourselves out of money so that you can have a better experience. Because we know if we can give you a better experience, you'll come back.
For sure.
And then we can help you, guide you through this growth, you know? But the educational pieces and like the disparity of us really just like getting that knowledge, and then like the heavy dollars being spent to just brand the marketing.
It's the marketing, the big marketing.
It's a bigger piece.
I call it black exploit too.
This is black exploit, man, for sure.
Like, we're in our social media, even like watching hip hop culture, man. That's how you have these big brands. I'm not gonna say any names, and then we just love these brands. We are thinking some of these, like, I don't know what you call them, brand ambassadors that are celebrities.
We thought they were owners.
They're owners, but they're not owners.
Nah, they're not.
They're not. They're just, they get a paycheck to say, hey, drink my alcohol. That's bullshit. And we know we love our people. We're going to support our people. But they're our people. They're not puppets, but they're ambassadors. That's why we have, we're probably the only liquor store with a black-owned section. So it's black owned.
It's just completely black owned. So you got your E-40 over here.
And
your
sure. E-40. We got some of John Legend stuff. Andre Mack wines. Some local people. Highway
vodka.
You
timeless.
Feel me? Timeless vodka. Uncle Nearest. Uncle Nearest, you feel me? Yeah. Big one. And then even like Noble Wolf, Island John, Irma Rose. Shout out Irma Rose.
But this stuff our people own.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. You would think you'd want some of these celebrities or influencers to push our people shit. Not like, it's all about money. They probably can't afford. You know, these people probably can't afford to have these celebrities. It's, you know, I'm sure they have a big budget, but it's all marketing.
And it's not a takeaway from there's a business aspect of it too, right? Like, so that's like my hat, right? Coming on, because I'm super business. But like, yeah, these people that are, we call it black exploit, but it's a business side of it. Two is, well, shoot, I can still make a good amount of money and promote this brand. They may have tried and tested, because some of these brands are actually, they have good juice and they're good quality. There's like some type of partnership. So somebody's making some money, but like the true ownership piece is like, it's different, right? And they make a business decision saying, well, shoot, I don't really know a ton about spirits, but I can partner with somebody to that does and go like that. But there is a give and take. There's like, well, shoot, you know, there's a give and take. There's just two sides to the coin. But the people that are like truly own is just different. It hits different, especially when you get a juice and a product that's like of quality. Because there's a lot of stuff that people private label. It's not super complex to get a spirit brand. It takes a lot of marketing and power, energy behind it. But once they get good juice behind it, like everything else could follow. You know, like if you got good juice, because there's some stuff that's
we didn't try this garbage. We'll tell them too, like from what we learned from the industry, some of these people pay a lot of money for marketing, a lot of money for the bottle, a lot of money, but they spend the least amount of money on juice, and the shit's trash. But the bottle looks amazing. Like the commercials, the person they have fronted, it's awesome.
You're paying for that. That cost that they spend on that gets pushed to the consumer.
Yeah.
Versus like, what if it was flipped? Like they put that cost piece of it towards the like actual quality, and it's just.
Then you have smaller companies. Yeah. Like, yeah, we only have this. We're not multimillionaire, when you have so much money, where you're going to allocate all this money into the juice. Fuck the bottle, fuck the marketing. It may not get the same like hype, but like the juice is fucking good. And that's what a lot of people don't get. Like, they're just the price that goes into like the alcohol itself. Like, yeah. Are you paying for the name? Are you paying for the bottle? Are you paying for that? Or do you want the juice? You want some good shit that no one knows about?
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, like we were saying about just some of the other options, man. Versus, you know, not going with some of the quote unquote top brands or some of the ones that people usually gravitate to based on celebrity or whatever the case. You know, let's just kind of give some people some other options. You know, on the black end, black owner. Ship side of things, whether it be for vodka, tequila, or cognac, so just whatever, you know.
Yeah. I mean, as you said, start with cognac,
whatever.
So man, like, you know, one big brand people drink is Hennessy, right? It's this popular brand.
It's a good brand.
It's a very good brand.
So
hey, how you guys doing? You guys here for the podcast?
Oh, no.
Liquor store is actually
we're closed.
Liquor store is actually closed. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
A little interruption.
Yeah, so I guess, like you were saying, cognac, yeah, not even just Hennessy. Like a lot of your major cognac houses, they mass produce stuff for the masses. They're popular. They're great companies, man. They're not doing nothing wrong. But usually, like, what's... cognacs, a lot of them, they're VS. Very special is... you have a VS.
Oh, my bad.
You for the podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just want to make sure.
And what people don't know, that VS stands for, like, at the very least, has to be aged for 2 years. Well, cognac has to come. It's a type of brandy that comes from the cognac region.
Yeah.
It has to be grapes from cognac, distilled twice, and aged in French and oak barrels for 2 years. At the minimum, 2 years, that makes it a VS. VSOP is what, 4 years? XO for up to 10 years. And that's just what VS means. But a lot of
were y'all getting this type of knowledge when y'all were bartending, or y'all were like, let me just get all I can know before I open the store up? Like, when did y'all start getting this deep into everything?
Probably like you start bartending, you start diving in deeper about the products that you're using.
Like why it, with and the why, taste profile.
Right, because you want to be able to like put certain tastes together. It's like almost like being a chef, right? Put certain tastes together to make a particular like drink. So you want to learn about those things. Like you want to understand why a VS tastes different from an XO or a VSOP. Or is the vintage or something like that. Like what's the difference between
and
those?
You have to explain to somebody, why should I pay $40 for this VS or pay $130 for this
XO? Yeah, exactly.
Well, this thing's been aged in a barrel for 10 years.
Yeah.
And that's what you're paying for. And when it's aged in a barrel, it's a lot more smoother because your ethanol is released into it. And it's also more flavorful because of wood components. But going back to stuff we recommend, someone pulls out your regular mainstream cognac VS for 2 years. I'm like, check out this...
Small batch
cognac called Paul Beau.
Out of France, yeah.
Out of France. And they're, like I said, the VS takes 2 years. They do 6 years for VS.
Yeah, so like if you think of cognac, like an entry level is like the VS, the legal requirement is 2 years. Well, their VS is aged for six.
6 years.
So it's like, man, so if I got the products that are like mass producing, doing the... I don't want to say bare minimum, but doing the legal piece to get it to be where it's considered a VS, they're going above and beyond.
And you were saying the XO is what, at 10 years, right?
10 years.
Yeah. So it's a good midpoint.
Yeah, exactly. So you imagine their VS is at 6, their VSOP is
like
12.
12 years for a VSOP?
Right. And so like you look at those things, and there's also other pieces to it.
If you look at it, I wish I could show you a bottle, but it's more clear, which means they don't add any coloring.
You know, any boudoir.
They don't add any coloring, any flavor. They add some of them add flavor to get that charred taste to it, like that older.
Right.
And it's pure cognac, and it's a small batch. And I always explain to people like the importance of a small batch or a small distillery comes to quality. Like if you cook
the quality controls
at home for your family, right? Four people, the portions, you can control the portions. It's like it'll taste a lot better. But if you gotta cook for your church and you're cooking for thousands of people, you're just throwing stuff in you're just mass producing it. It's not really. The quality won't be as good as for cooking for four people. rather than 1,000 people. And that's why I always like push smaller places. Yeah, the big mainstream stuff is, it's good stuff. I'm not talking down about them, but there's benefits from smaller.
Yeah.
Smaller, even though the name is not there.
Very much so benefits. I mean, that's the key. I mean, that's cognac. I mean, you can go into tequila and vodka and and it's the same story, right? It's the same, like, okay, what are they putting into the juice? How are they doing it?
What was the recommendation on that cognac?
Oh, Paul Bow. VS, okay. Yeah. And then the VSOP is solid, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And then, like, tequila, man. Like, so everybody's drinking. Everybody has shifted to these ultra-premium tequilas, which are really good, right? They're like, that means you're drinking the stuff that's been, like, which is an extra añejo. So you may have, like, a silver or blanco or plata, which is, like, the entry level. It's usually clear, straight from the steel. Then repo, which is rested tequila, age requirement of what, like, is it a year or two
for repo?
Is it 6 months? Six months.
6 months for repo.
And then you're in añejo, up to a year. Then extra añejo, which is like everybody's drinking now.
I think now. Repo is 2 months minimum.
2 months minimum.
Oh, but your good brands do it for 6 to 7 months.
And so like the extra añejo, and it's the same thing with the tequila as it was you would think for like a cognac, but. There's brands that, again, smaller production, you know, still selling a lot, but they have those better touch points on the quality. And so, like, you'll be paying for, I call them pound for pound fighters. Like, price point, quality, how it's produced, you're paying for what you're going to get, man. Like, so if you're spending something like 50, 60 bucks, shit, you want that juice to be good, right? You want... So you may have something like a Fortaleza, which is like probably one of the best tequilas produced in the world.
Sure, it's traditional.
It's super traditional.
No one knows what the... I mean, tequila connoisseurs know the name. It's not a mainstream tequila.
It's not.
They're one of the number two gnomes. So there's about maybe exactly. Around 200 tequila houses that make tequilas.
Which is just distilleries
and I want to say Fortaleza is number two.
Yeah, rated number two.
Which says a lot. They do the traditional, the old school traditional.
Old school Tojona and 12-horse donkey team. Which
cooked
is
in a brick and clay oven for three days. Slow cooked. Also, like I tell people about tequila, you want something that's slow cooked. It's like when you anything you cook, you get better aroma, better taste. It's just a slow burn. Rather than cooking something in the microwave.
Another piece is like where the agave is from, right? The plant. Agave takes 7 years to grow before it's mature to even be cooked.
Seven
so,
to
like,
ten. Yeah.
You got places that go to, you know, they get their agave because they produce so much, they got to buy their agave from other places. And there's other places that are like, it's all done in one place. They grow it, they cook it, they distill it, they produce it.
And you talk about low, like where the agave comes from, low end. Or a highland. The highland is high altitude, Los Altos, lowland. And it has a big effect on the way it's grown and what
it produces. So like
the taste profile. The higher it is, higher altitude, it's harder for it to grow through the conditions.
So it's a lot smaller. Smaller piñas. They spend a lot more time keeping their nutrients because there's not an abundance. So you can just imagine like you have to hunker down, you know, and stay like as lean as possible so you can be fit to survive these harsh environments.
But it's really sweet.
It's sweeter because you get the agave sugars tend to last longer because it's just like in survival mode. Lowland agave, which is like something that would be like in a valley, closer to water.
Closer to water. Super, it's really, really big.
They're super big. They've got, you know, they've got more mineral taste to them.
More
they got
earthy,
more earthy flavors to them. It's because they can sprawl out, right? They're close to water. They're not fighting for water. It's in abundance. So they can sprawl out, grow their roots deep, get big and fat, you know what I'm saying? So those different things in the agricultural part of it, like, make the flavor profile change, you feel me? Because they're able to do different things, you know what I'm saying? So
that's the kind of stuff you can get from a Lloyd Sea Liquor, man. You like this Highland? Let me recommend you another Highland.
For sure.
Or a Lowlander. Like, this is a smaller company. You're not paying for the name, because 9 times out of 10, you pay for the name. So it's like stuff like that we like to do here that you won't get at your... You'll probably get this at maybe Specs or Total Wines, but you're not going to get it at...
Not in a neighborhood.
That's what I'm saying. Talk about the importance of having this in the neighborhood. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. It's not in the neighborhood.
Even when we opened up this store, man, it had a bulletproof glass window.
Yeah, so this was a liquor store before us.
Yeah.
It didn't do well. It ended up closing.
Probably because of that business
model.
Yeah.
So we actually knocked down a bulletproof glass window that was like where I'm at, right there. And then you have the all the shelving behind it. Have to order through it.
Like, and like we made this liquor store for our people. We come from different social economics, everything. When we first opened this, these other reps were like, hey man, you want some like Old English in here, some MD 2020? Like it sells really good in the community, man.
Fuck no.
That's not the type of vibe we're trying to put.
We don't carry any malt liquor. Like, I mean, we carry like
try
beer.
Not to carry any bullshit.
Wait. That's so disrespectful though, man.
I mean, they're being honest.
But they got like, just imagine, right?
It's on sale. I get it.
We're pushing against what they know. Yeah. Like, so they have tons of data saying, well, these neighborhoods buy this. Well, have those neighborhoods like learned about anything else? Have we put energy and time to teach them?
Yeah.
No, it's not, because the liquor companies are just trying to sell liquor. Like, they're not into educate. They want dollars. They want to turn product. So yeah, it's gonna sell. So like I told them we're not carrying. Oh man, your store down here carry, you know, Four Locos and OE. We're like, man, we're not carrying
that store. Yeah.
It's like, if you want a Lucy, 40, go across the street, Brody. It's no love lost with me, man. Like it's solid. We just want, you know what I'm saying. Drinking is subjective. There's different type of drinking. You drink what you like. We just don't have that. We just want to get something different. We want to control our dynamic of our foot traffic as well. The coolest thing about where we're located, and I always tell people, this is like Mecca. I'm just saying that because I went to TSU. This is where I kind of grew up. But this is Mecca, bro.
Right here on the south side.
You feel me? It's
right here, around the corner from Third Ward.
Bro, Third Ward, and you got motherfucking McGregor. Mm-hmm. Then you got Yellowstone. You feel me? You got the Sunny Side.
And you got the medical center.
And then you got the medical center.
We got doctors that come from the medical center.
It's all in 1 mile radius.
Two blocks away. I mean, like a couple blocks away, you have McGregor Millionaires. And you got people in the hood also. So it's
So we want to be able to, we realized that, and we said, okay, we want to be able to cater to all of that. Because people come to the store, it's like, man, I used to have to go across town to go to get liquor. I come to y'all now because I like the feeling, I like the vibe. I like,
especially some of these like, you know, seasoned drinkers that got a bunch of money. You're not gonna go to your neighborhood liquor store and get like some Monkey 47, some high end gin, or you're not gonna get.
You're gonna go to Total Wine.
You're gonna go to Total Wine for that. But like, so we're like a more of a boutique liquor store. Also, yeah, we have your mainstream stuff, but we got like small Japanese. Japanese whiskeys. We got small batch bourbons. Like our liqueur section is pretty dope.
Yeah, but the thing going back to like, yeah, it is like disrespectful. Like, you know, that anger, that contention was like, because it was from every single supplier. Oh, this sells here.
Like we drink.
Like, okay, that's cool.
We drink more.
That's what I was gonna say. I mean, but with them coming in, how many people have come in looking for that? Now that y'all have been here and kind of set this precedence of like this.
Yeah,
is what
so because we kind of changed the foot trap. Like, we're giving people like the base was like here. We were kind of like trying to raise it. You feel me? And still give great pricing, but we're trying to like raise it a little bit so that you can get a different experience. Well, again, we're giving you a different experience. It's like. We still have our everyday drinkers who are our people that drink, you know, some of the, I need a small pint, something solid. Cool. We got that for you. But then we also make it accessible and you don't have to be, you know, scared, or you don't have to be like, man, I got to wait behind. It's a whole bunch of bums always hanging out. We want to make it collective for everybody. Cause one, we're from the culture. We understand like there's different types of subgenres and socioeconomics within our black communities. We get millionaires to walk in, and then we get people that ride the metro to work, and that's cool. And we want every single person, color, creed, whatever, to feel like $1 million. It was so funny. I had a great experience with one of my workers because I just happened to be working the register, and I had a situation the prior week with a lady where I had to let her go because the interaction with a customer was not correct. You feel me? Wasn't inviting. I'm like, yo, we get one shot. Let's make it inviting, make it fun. Let her go. Used as a learning opportunity with the rest of the staff. I had opportunity to serve somebody who I knew very wealthy. Came in here, flip-flops, shorts, ball cap. You would never know. You wouldn't put a dollar on him because of what he looked. And when he left, he knew me, dapped me up. And I said, this is why you have to treat every single person like a rock star coming through, because you don't know. Like, we have this weird area where it's rich, you know, b- blue collar, white collar mixture of blend. So you got to make sure you're on point and treat everybody like $1 million. From the guy who comes in and gets a taco pint every day to the dude who comes in and he's buying the big name brands, they should feel and have the same experience. And that's what we wanted to do. So getting rid of these bullshit brands that we feel like are like leeches on our community. Don't do any education. Don't do any giving back. Don't carry those. You feel me? We wanted to give this whole footprint just a makeover and really put the package side of, which is called like the package retail side of it, just give it a different vibe and feel. Like, we're young. We don't do, and we have no base. That's the funny thing. Like, we have no like frame of reference of what's like the norm. So everything we do is like, we want to do it because we want to be different. And people are just like, they're like, what the fuck? You guys are doing that? Like, yeah. I didn't think about
and
that.
When you said about giving back and treating people good, because like, I'm going to keep on emphasizing that we are a community. You're the community liquor store. There's a lot of people that come in the community and set up these shops, take money and dip out. But we make sure that we give everything back. We're super big into like events and everything. We did a domestic violence, raised money for domestic violence, made some of our double cups for it. Breast cancer awareness. I think our biggest, coolest thing we did was our toy drive. We decked this place out with a bunch of toys. Not a bunch of toys, but a bunch of Christmas decorations. And maybe a month before Christmas, we had a toy drive. Like, whatever, donate a toy, you get to raffle like some you get to raffle a bunch of fucking nice alcohol, like Blantons or rare allocated stuff. And we want to get as much money, not as much toys as we can, to help out our community.
Yeah.
So, cause especially right now during COVID, like, times is rough. So a lot of people are out of work. Probably the roughest Christmas for a lot of people.
For sure.
And we made sure that like people here got, we gave them toys. We had more than enough. We had a lot of toys, and we shout out to like people in Third Ward, people that are passing through to help out with that. But is that kind of stuff where you, like, where you take care of us and we're still taking care of you back? Or really, you're more than just your neighborhood liquor store, but we give back and we try to keep on working with everybody. And not just taking our dollars and sending it back to a foreign country, because that's what happens. I mean, that's just a game. You go to one of these, like I said, liquor stores and barely speak English. There's nothing wrong with that. But trust me, they ain't giving the money back to us. They're giving back money
for
back
sure.
for their family back home in another country.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact.
We had talked a little bit about the hard liquor and all that, but talk about just some of the options on the wine side of things, you know what I mean, that you offer or really push over here at OST Liquor.
Gonna defer
to me.
That's
a wine guy right there.
Yeah. So man, so we actually carry some really cool wines. So we started off carrying like a lot of the popular stuff that you would see like in the big chain, like grocery stores. I think like the average everyday person's experience with wine comes from like your big chain grocery store retails, because they've got a shit ton of it and it's like a very eclectic pick, but also the price point. So we did start off with like a lot of the popular brands. Over the past like maybe the last 3 months of the year, we started shifting into like more small batch stuff. Not necessarily meaning it's going to be more expensive, but quality stuff that you can get for like a really affordable price. We did a deal during Christmas that went really well, where you get 4 bottles of wine for like $35, and then now we have like a forever going three bottles of wine for $25. And it's not that you're getting like cheap wine. What we're doing on our end is finding very good wine that, you know, people have not been able to sell and get it at a better price, so I can give it to you at a better price. So we have a more array of different wines. There's a small selection, but just like from all over the place, whether it's from Oregon, California to Spain. We've got a ton of great South African wines. We partner with a black-owned distribution company called Brandoir Wines.
Warren Luckett is my boy.
Hey, Warren, so I talked about that. Warren is solid, man. He actually, we actually met Warren like through we judged the Maker's Mark cocktail competition they had, and we met Warren. Warren reached out to me, and I had always heard of Brandoir. I didn't know Warren was a part of that, and it's like, dang, this is like perfect. Like, he's like, yeah, he's like, I'm gonna give you my pops number. So I've worked with his pops as well, Wayne. And they got some funky shit. Like,
they got some live wine, bro. And I don't drink wine, but when I'm messing with Warren, I'm like, nah, bro, y'all own or something.
Yeah,
bro.
They got some real. So we got a good selection of their wines that they care from South Africa. that are really good. And then we got some other stuff. We work with another kind of small kind of a broker for wine. Just give us some really cool options. But it's interesting, like wine versus spirits for us and our community. What I see, this is my personal opinion, is like, we either go like as a community like really sweet,
or
somebody goes like super dry, and it's not even super dry; it's more like a red blend. So you'll see like the big Stella Roses and stuff like that sell. But what we saw the opportunity was there was a local black owned brand called Irma Rose Winery
out of Katy,
Texas, yeah. Fruit based wine. So you can even, you know, put this, she doesn't have the official stamp, but you could put the official stamp of being like vegan because she's like small batch, not using any type of chemicals to cut her stuff. But she produces a great fruit wine that really competes with that flavor profile that people look for. And I mean, she came here and tasted us on like 13 wines in like a noon, and I was like drunk in like 30 minutes, but they were all, every time you tasted one, she's like, okay, this is our blackberry, this is our cranberry, our apple, our green apple. Every time you tasted one of the fruit wines, it felt like I was actually like biting that piece of fruit, which was crazy. Mm. So like that really sells well here. So we do like a lot of sweet wines. Shout out to E40, you feel me, for the Earl Stevens collection. You know, me and the homie from the Bay, so we had to bring Bay Area, you feel me, to the people and give it to them, you know, at a full 110%. So his Earl Stevens collection. He has a great varietal of different flavor Moscatos, and then also a red blend, which is a little bit dry, but still palatable. And it's just about, like, again, you have that big gap. So, like, I think what we try to do is find wines that, like, are, like, meet that middle, where it's not, like, something super niche or super, super sweet like a Lambrusco, but kind of give you some stuff in the middle where you can kind of play with it and find your taste. Wine is, like, it's the oldest spirit in the freaking world, and that has a ton of different, like, flavor profiles and tastes that kind of can you can get lost in it. And it is scary for people, so I try to keep it simple. Like, hey, this is good. It's a red blend, Petit Sirah, you feel me, Cab. This is with the taste profile, you feel me? It's going to be light, dry, good fruitiness on it, and that's what we kind of carry here. So we do have a pretty cool selection of wine. And then we carry, like, McBride Sisters. I mean, there was a freaking craze.
Oh,
there was a little wild, you know, when, you know, buying black, it was, you know, that it became a thing, I guess, earlier. Like, people were just buying their Black Girl Magic wine. And then we also carry their other varietals, just the regular McBride Sisters blend stuff. Not blend, but the different varietals. But yeah, we got some pretty cool wine. Oh, Pure Noir. Another local wine, Houston based company. They get their grapes from Napa, from one of the more known Napa wineries. They getting their grapes, like, very quality grapes. I guess you would call theirs like an ultra ultra premium wine because of the price point, but you're paying for something that's like
it's the quality of that ilk,
right?
Even like even the Brown Estate.
Brown Estate. So that's
they own their vineyards, which is cool.
it's the only black-owned vineyard in Napa Valley. Yeah. So you got to look at that, which is crazy, right? Like, they own the soil, which produces the grapes, which then they have their own distillery on the land, and then they push it out. So they got the whole process. Like, you talk about vertical. My boy Nip always talk about that vertical chain. Like, they got the whole process. So that's, like, really inspiring to see. And they make good, again, like, we go back to the juice, bro. Like, the juice is good. Like, if the juice is good, the labeling, the bottle, all that shit could follow.
All that stuff is for sure. Because at the end of the day, you're putting a cup and you're drinking the juice. You're not chewing on the label. You're not chewing on the glass. It's what you're drinking.
Exactly. So, yeah. We got a good selection of the wines.
Yeah. And then, you know, this is my favorite, of course. We just did one, you know what I mean? But y'all got the double cups, you know what I mean? The infamous double cups.
Yeah. Let me grab
the double cup cocktail. We got the Donnie motherfucking Houston going right now, you know what I mean? But, you know, y'all have an array of options.
I'll let Jay.
You can bring a bunch of them. Just bring a different bunch of different kind of.
There's options. We pumping that Donnie motherfucking Houston, so you still got time to make it down here to OST Liquor and get you one, you know what I mean?
So, yeah, I guess our double cups, man. This is where our bartending stuff comes in, our origins.
Milkshake,
our origins from
King Nip, you feel me, RIP, Nipsey Hussle. I mean, probably got like over 120 now. 120 different options that we've created over this time. We started with 40, grew it to 80, then cut the, we had to redo our program, so we cut the list to back down to 30 and then started from there again.
But this is just to piggyback off of From the Bay. I mean, I'm not, we're not going to sit here a lot and say we made this up. I feel like we perfected. Actually, I know we perfected.
For sure perfected, you feel
but,
me?
But back home, they call them cutty bags, where you just a bunch of little 50 mils together with some random juice. It would sell better for them. They're from like liquor store owners in San Francisco, Daly City, the Bay Area. Difference with us, we're like, hey, we could actually make cocktails with our bartenders.
Yeah.
So we actually started making real cocktails. Like we made a sidecar, we made a Negroni, we made a bunch.
Spritzers.
And
French 75 type drinks. We take those classic cocktails and just make riffs of them and make them fun and more approachable. I think like for us, like cocktails are fun. But sometimes they can be kind of stuffy because people are like nervous about what's new. They don't understand that piece. And so we just like, man, we can make this shit
who's
fun.
Looking, usually they come with a spirit. They come with a spirit, whether it's gin, cognac, vodka, whiskey. Come with usually a spirit, a mixer, a juice, like pineapple juice, a liqueur. It's really balanced. We taste everything that we make.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, it sounds like a good idea. It really tastes like shit. And it's not. it's horrible.
Yeah, all these are tested and approved by me and my partner. We make sure that they're good before they go out. But it's something, again, like, we love where we're from, and we're able to take that and, like I said, like he said, perfect it and make it something that's more fun.
I'll give you guys an example. Just pour them all in, and they're good to go.
Yeah, I mean, everything in the bag goes in the cup. You double cup, obviously, for a Houston, you feel me? We try to make it more fun. People have had mixed feelings about the double cup, you feel me, because of the connotations of from where it stems from. But just like the word, like people use the word like nigga, right? You feel me? We try to flip it into some more positive, right? This don't have lean in it. You know what I'm saying? It's not your regular purple drink. We're making it fun and approachable for everybody.
You
but
just
put also,
it in and you roll it back and
you know,
forth.
Making sure we're noticing, you know, this the culture of Houston. So.
Not a double cup. So what are some of the more popular ones that y'all have, man? Like, what's some of the ones that really make it out the door?
For sure, the Nipsey Hussle is a big one. The Bad and Bougie was probably one of our first ones. It's almost like a spritzer.
Third Ward Beauty.
Our Third Ward Beauty, our Third Ward Special.
Third Ward Chilada.
our Henny Melon.
Our Henny Melon. Hood Mosa. Hood Rita.
The Hood Mai Tai.
The Hood Mai Tai is a hitter.
Hood Mai
Tai
is a hitter. We just don't have it all the time.
Yeah, that's a tough one. We sell that out every time we put it in the box. But the Hood Rita, Hood Mai Tai, the Nipsey, Bad and Bougie, Crown Float.
Like
I'm cooling.
And man, it's good, like, because if you want a cocktail, but you don't want to buy your fifth or liter of, like, a cream of Chambord or Saint Germain, because, like, you know, you want to drink for right now. If you buy a big bike, you'll be drinking that for the next
couple of days
or weeks. So it's like a quick banger. If you're going to the club, like you get about 3 servings of alcohol for you get this at a club or a bar, you're paying the same price, but it's just 1 serving. So nice, like, on your way to the club. If not, kicking it with the homies on a barbecue. Everyone has their own flavor. It's like a cocktail to go at a great price.
Great price. And it's fun, you feel me?
It's fun, yeah.
And it teaches you how to make a drink. That's the cool thing for us. Like, it teaches you. Again, education is like a big piece
of
us. So we're like, if you've never used Grand Marnier or Saint Germain, like, now you know one drink at least. How to use that. You
and
know what I'm
saying? That's one thing. We're big, big, big on education. We have classes and we have tastings. We go out our way. To make everyone better, not just consumers, but just better.
You saying classes as far as for the public, or you saying for yourself?
No,
to keep
for
yourself
the public.
Oh yeah, for the public. So for ourselves, we take classes, but for the public, we like offer, like, so we'll have a wine tasting coming up.
I mean, our first class, man, shout out to Sweet Lips Next Door. They gave us the opportunity to open up their doors, and we did a tequila tasting educational with them.
Yeah, that's when we knew. We did that, and we was like, oh, we can really do this. We did a tequila tasting and pairing with cigars. Hmm. And people were like, what? Tequila and cigars?
And it was
like,
cool, nah, bro, it was cool to talk to people about, like, tequila, about the process is what we're talking about, what they're paying for. And then we just made them, you know, better buyers. They don't have to buy from here, but they could buy whatever they want. But at least they know about tequila. And it's cool that we educate our people for that.
Yeah.
It's really not about the money. It's more about, you know, just the service. I guess that's what it is. It's the service and serving our people, treating our people good. Because, like, they should be able to get that service and that knowledge from their neighborhood. They ain't got to go to Total Wine or Specs. Yeah, or you go to the hood.
I want to state just real quick, last thing on Double Cups, because when I ran the commercial and talked about it on the podcast, people were like, oh, man, that's dope. I never saw that before. There were a couple people from the Bay like, oh, man, they done brought the Cuddy, what is it?
Cuddy bag.
Cuddy brought the Cuddy bag to Houston, you know what I mean?
We did.
It different, though.
So the Cuddy bag, so a little history. So, yeah, the Cuddy bag is from the Bay. We're from the East Bay, from San Francisco. Like, so, yeah, we brought a piece of culture to us. We didn't invent the wheel. Purposed it and made it into our thing to fit Houston, you feel me? So, like, yeah, you probably seen this back home if you're from the Bay, but you ain't seen it done like we did, because even the ones that we get back home, it's honestly like a value bag.
It's a
whole bunch of different stuff that may not necessarily make a great drink.
They don't even go together.
But it's going to get you lit, you feel me? Yeah.
So that's what it is. They just put mixes together, and it's like, okay, put all this in together.
I mean, they do some renditions of, like, you feel me, the Incredible Hulk or the you feel me, the Hennessy and Alizé stuff. But it's not like, these are like riffs off of, like, really, really great cocktails.
Like, we got, like, sidecars.
Better packaging. Like, they just put it in a regular Ziploc that still say Ziploc, you feel me? And it's not nothing to knock it. We just wanted to elevate it a little bit, you feel me, and present it in a different way, which I think has gotten a lot of great feedback for Houston. But then people from the Bay are like, oh, man, y'all stealing. Like, how are we stealing? We from the Bay.
even with me.
Like, what you mean, bro? Like, I was there, you know, and it's a lot of these younger cats, you know, because they don't know how old we are. Like, bro, my nigga, I was buying cutting bags, bro.
Yeah. Our stuff is good, man. Like, we'll try out 3-4 different times. Like, now that juice tastes weird. Like, we don't throw shit in the bag.
And see, that's what my next thing, right? No, for sure. We sat there and played with that shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't just make this mix and this is what we decided on.
I think that's,
like,
the difference, you feel me? Like, we really put a little bit more energy into it, you feel me? And it doesn't take anything away from it, but... And we always pay homage to where we're, like, back home, bro. Like, that's why we got E40 in here. Like, nobody was... I'll say, like, I didn't see a lot of people buying E40 stuff until we started selling, you feel me? Like, you feel me? We got the Slurry King, we got this tequila, we got this Earl Stevens wine collection. So it's like a part of us to make sure we're taking care of back home. Yeah. But, and still acknowledging, like, yo, Houston has played a huge part in our lives, bro. Yeah. Like, so, yeah, we're going to do it different in Houston. We're going to double cup it, you feel me? We're going to make it look a little different.
So do you get the cups with the Cuddy bag and all that in?
Oh, yeah. So when you buy the double cup cocktail, you get the double cup. It's a package, you feel me?
No, I'm not saying with y'all. I'm saying the original concept. Was it with the cup and the date like that?
Or you just buy a bag of
liquors and you put it together. Everybody,
you get an ice cup, you feel me? But it's just like, nah, you just buy the bag.
Hmm. Okay. And even with me mentioning that, I wasn't saying it in a derogatory way. People recognize that.
People do.
And then also said for the convenience aspect of, like, man, I'm
exactly. Coming. But it's funny. So, like, a little history. Just a little history about the Cuddy bag. The reason that it was even started in the Bay was because, like, the liquor laws was a little bit different. You have to get a separate type of liquor license to be able to sell 50 mL.
Anything under 200 mL.
So under 200 mL, you need a different permit, you feel me, to sell that particular. So what they would do is, they originally started, they would still buy these because you get better pricing and better margin. They would put a rubber band around, like, 250s or three of these, you feel me, and make it like, okay, well, this is, I'm selling it together as a pack, so it's bigger than 200 mls. So that's where it kind of stemmed from. They were trying to make more, a little bit more money, and then throw it in a bag, you feel me, so like a value pack, you know what I'm saying? We just kind of took that, what we grew up with, and elevated it a little bit.
And a quick, that's it. For people who are watching, this is, you know, for the first time, not familiar with the double cup cocktails.
Yeah, for sure.
We always say put your spirit in first, because sometimes, like, you don't want to put your juice in first, you put your spirits in first. This is for the Donnie motherfucking Houston.
That Donnie mother... Donnie, what you want to call this?
Donnie motherfucking Houston.
So you put in the Remy?
Yeah. That Remy VSOP.
Grand Marnier. Kinky Aloha. Aloha. And all these stuff complements each other. It's not, we just throw them together. This
Everything serves its purpose.
Everything serves its purpose.
For sure.
Put that all the way.
And you got to
like
do
that.
The whole thing, too, because I had people asking me, like, it was two questions, was portion-wise, what do I do? And second...
you just roll it back like that. Yeah. And it fits perfectly.
Yeah,
like.
it's all portioned out, like... For the most part, it's all portioned out already. You just got to just pour. Some people... Depending on like how they like how strong they like their drink, they'll lighten up on the juices we put in there. And like, oh no, I'll do a little less juice. I want it a little bit, you know, heavier. But for the most part, we make it so you dump everything in it. Like it's already done. Don't overthink the double cup. Just pour it in the
whatever
cup.
Whatever you
right?
got, use.
Yeah. Whatever you got in the bag, put it in the cup. You solid.
And it's two cups to roll back and forth. It's not to share. If it's for your homie, tell your homie to buy his own.
Yeah, don't share these, man. tell your homie to buy his own. We got prices and flavors for everybody.
Yeah. You ain't got to go half on a double.
Yeah,
cup.
You don't gotta go.
You could if you want to, but you ain't.
It's not recommended. Yeah, you can do it, but it's not recommended.
This is for you to get your. Yeah, this is your thing.
This is your personal. You feel me? This is your personal situation. Yeah, don't go have one double cup.
Yeah. So okay. So last thing was double cups. Is that like I know how we came up with ours, but like how do y'all come up with the different mixes, and then how often do y'all say, okay, we're gonna drop a new mix?
Man,
it's just
honestly it's similar to what we did with you. So like kind of going back to. I guess our experience, like bartending, we have a ton of different like flavor profiles in our head. So sometimes we'll call each other and talk through flavors. Like, hey, let's do a riff off of this. What should we use? What I think of this. And it may be like one cocktail, we come up with three different variations, and we'll come back here and try to see what's the best fit. But we'll go through like that encyclopedia of flavors we have in our head and try to put them together. But then it always comes back to our little laboratory, like. Testing it out, like I think this will go good. Cause I think we came up with a different version of yours, and it was like, nah. I was like, man, I don't think so because it'll do this.
We were trying it with like lemon juice, or
pineapple juice. So we'll do that, and we'll go. And sometimes, like you know, he'll say like, nah, don't do that because it'll do this, and then we'll try it. It's like, oh yeah, shit, you're right. Sometimes I'll be like, hey, do this, add this, and it's like, okay, that I like that. Let's go with that. So
and sometimes we see a flavor. I was like, man, he put this flavor. I guess with our Crown Flow, we saw like. Crown Vanilla. We got the Crown Vanilla. We saw a cream. Let's add a root beer. Let's make a root beer float.
Exactly. So it just
comes up when we look at it. It's fun doing.
Yeah, I bought some serious drinkers, man, to even be having the ideas of like, man, you know what, we really could just take this and put it with this and turn it into something, man. You got to really know your shit. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, we enjoy it, man. It's a passion. I think that's like another thing, man. Yeah, of course it's a business. It's for money, but it's what we like doing is for pleasure, man. It's pleasure, something we do.
It's not forced, you feel me? It's like all very natural, all very
and like I told, we were talking about books we read. I was like, I read books on this stuff on my free time. It's not for work, just because it's stuff I'm passionate about. The production of cocktail, like the history of cocktails, like I'm a nerd. And when it comes to that particular thing, so it's stuff we enjoy. It's bigger than just we're not doing it for the dollars. We do it when we're not making money, when we're at home. Our own pleasure.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So man, is there anything, you know, moving forward, anything for people to look forward to? Any like major goals for y'all? Because I mean, this is a big accomplishment. You know what I mean? Open a black-owned liquor store in a black neighborhood. You come up with things like the double cup to separate yourselves from other things going on in the city. Like, what's next for you guys?
Man, hopefully maybe another store.
Bigger store, so we have more selections,
yeah,
you know?
That's probably the biggest piece. Probably hopefully maybe you do maybe one or two more of these. maybe just an all double cup store coming soon. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Where you just coming and it's all fridges. You feel me?
Fridges all around.
Double cups of everything.
Another thing for our people to look forward to, man. We probably want to get more in our education. We're going to have more classes, more tastings. We're thinking about like.
You want to taste at least a class a month?
Hey, man. You say you like Patron. You say you like Class Azul. You say you like. Don Julio. All right, let's do a blind taste test. What's up?
That's what the blind taste test is called. Because even for like me and Justin, like I guess you may consider us a little bit more experienced like drinking as far as taste goes. But like I'll get got sometimes. Like we'll blind it. We'll say, hey man, I'm not gonna show you. Just blind it. Tell me, rate it 1 through 5. And then you'll go back, look at what it was, like, oh shit, that was what that was. That shit, garbage.
I was in here one day when y'all were doing that, and I was like, damn.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you were in that one time.
So you like Crown Royal? Why do you like Crown Royal? Let me give you 4 Canadian whiskeys.
4 Canadian whiskeys from top to bottom, like, and it's so funny because people will pick like the least
what they don't
one.
Usually drink.
Yeah, what they don't. It's like they can tell this Crown Royal, but like, man, this is I think this is Crown Royal, but this one tastes better. And it's like, it's crazy.
Are you able to convert people, or are people still stuck on the names
after
that?
The people who take, I mean.
People, it's like 60-40. You can't convert. And then 40% people, they'll try. Like, especially if the price points is attractive, like, they'll convert. But, like, then you got some people who are like, nah, man, I'm going to be buried with this bottle. Crown Royal to the, I want my casket linen
my
to
granddaddy
be.
Granddaddy drank Crown Royal, my daddy drank Crown Royal.
Exactly.
It's like, you know what? I ain't arguing. Let me go get you a bottle. This tastes better. This cheap shot has more of a kick. It's like, yeah, but when I get that kick, it knows I'm alive. You know, I'm like, all right, bro.
Exactly. Like, shit. Like, fuck it. That's what I'm saying. Like, drinking is subjective, bro. A lot of it is subjectivity, man. Like, people like what they like, man. Whether it's because of the name or the juice or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Because we get all those customers. You feel me? This is what they drink. It's been in their generations. Everybody, granny, mama, auntie, daddy, everybody drink this. Yeah. I'm drinking this. You feel me?
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, we just yeah.
But also keep over mind when you come to ST Liquor. I guess I'll put that
sure,
out there.
Man. Yeah, if you want to find some cool stuff, we definitely have some more funkier stuff that we can talk about.
Probably one of the only liquor stores when you pick something up, we're like, hey, how are you drinking that? And why are you like, what are you looking for? And how are you drinking? Are you drinking it straight? Are you making a cocktail? Are you cutting it? Because we always try to figure
that
out.
That simple
like,
question is like, it opens up a. That's our end.
Yeah, and they're like, hey, man, I'm buying this tequila because I'm making a margarita. I'm like, sick, man. You thought about the triple sec you're going to buy or the orange liqueur? Like, no. Didn't think about that. Well, here you have this array of options. You have top shelf, lower shelf. I recommend this particular orange liqueur triple sec to go with this.
You trying to have a good night with the lady? You just trying to get fucked up. We'll direct you whatever five you're trying to do, you know?
And it will tell you. I'll even tell you portions, man. I'll say like 1.5 tequila, 1/2 ounce of like a good triple sec, 3 ounces, I mean, three quarters lime juice, about even a quarter or a half agave. This is what you should get to make this drink. You want to make a Cosmo, this is what you need. You want to make a Manhattan. Some people are like, hey, I'm making a Manhattan. And they bring the cheap shit. I'm like, man, if you really want to, you want to make a good Manhattan, you're buying expensive bourbon or rye. Get some expensive vermouth. Don't get the cheap vermouth. It's going to change the whole drink.
Changes the drink.
We'll get you some. The Cokie or Antique, like, yeah, it's more money, but like, it's gonna taste a lot better. So, that's the type of knowledge you get over here. We always ask, man, or I'm buying for a party. You're buying for a party, what's your budget? Okay, let me get you this same quality stuff, we'll stretch it far further. We're just more than a liquor store, man. We give lessons, education, history. We're customer service is our biggest thing, just because, like, it's our people. You know,
We want our people. We want to give our people something different, and then equip them to, you know what I'm saying, to be able to have, you know, a more in depth and complex, like, you know, experience and taste. And that way, you know, like, you go if you happen not to be by our liquor store, you can't make it to us, but you go somewhere else. They can't say you know bullshit. Well, my OST said, you feel me? This is how you're supposed to do it. So you know what I'm saying. We just want to equip people with that knowledge. You know what I'm saying. That's huge for us.
That's what it is, man. Well, any last words before we get up out of here, man? Social media, all that, make sure.
Absolutely. So if you can follow us at OST_liquor on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, every platform, and, you feel me? And then we're at... Go ahead.
You can say that. You can say that.
Oh, we're at 3928 Old Spanish Trail, Suite E as an elephant, Houston, Texas, 77021. OST and Scott, baby. That's where we at.
And the biggest thing is 2021, man. We're tapped in. We have our own application.
Yes.
It's COVID. Everyone stay home and stay out, you know, out the way. We deliver straight to your house.
Anywhere inside of the Beltway 8 loop, we can deliver to you. $4.99 is our delivery fee.
And then
we also do some coupons where it's free.
Stay so tuned to our social media, because we'll let you know when we do free deliveries to help people out. But man, download the app and it comes straight to your door.
Yep, download the app on all platforms, Google, which is the Google Store, and then also at Apple Store. It's just OST Liquor. You feel me? Look for us.
And go get you a double cup.
We don't. My bad. You here for? We're not open, actually. About that. But yeah, man.
I ain't gonna lie. You know what's the trip? Is that we've had so many people come in here. Well, I ain't gonna say so many people. There's been a few people to come in here in Houston on the Sunday trying to sell.
We get activity. You feel me? I be in here doing. I've been. I'd have had all type of people come to the door. You feel me? Trying to swindle me into selling, but nah, we don't sell on Sundays. Yeah. No dope on Sundays.
That's what's up, man. Any last words before we get about it?
Nah, man. Appreciate the support, man. Continue to come out and OST Liquor, man.
Thank you. Thank you, Donnie, for this this platform. Big fan of yours.
Man, appreciate y'all, man. Yeah. We did the collabo, man. Shit was dope. You know what I mean? We're gonna do some more
many
stuff
more stuff to come too, man. Yeah. This was good, man. Like I said, this was a good vibe. We appreciate you, man.
For sure. Well, I appreciate y'all, man.
One more thing to add. We do everything. We have our LD license. We distribute to bars and restaurants. So let us know if any restaurants.
Any bars, clubs.
You want to do
as we start to open back up.
Collaborations. We do consulting, helping curate cocktails for bars and restaurants. Yep. We got it all. Yeah.
And even if, you know, somebody who has a liquor and has all their stuff together on the business side, they want to get into the store.
Product placement, man. Yeah. Come holler at us, man. Yeah. And if you're trying to figure out which way to go, which distributor to work with, you know, everybody goes after the big guys. But there's a lot of small distributors that will work with you and help you, you know, get that brand out there. So
y'all have that information for it if they have it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We're sharing it. It's not no secret. You can come holler at us.
Yeah. Shout out to Shop Bottles, another black owned.
Man, Shop Bottles,
Corey's helped us out a lot.
Yeah, man. Yeah. He's been a super, you know, and that's crazy. A lot of businesses black owned, we feel like we're in competition with each other, but really we're in competition with everybody else. But man, Corey was able to really give us some really good information, give us some good game, because he's been in it for a while. So yeah, shout out to Shop Bottles, man. You feel me? And we're not stepping on each other's toes. He and Ito, we over here, we got good synergies, you feel me? And that's what it's about, man. It's about propping each other up. So yeah, for sure.
That's what it is. Well, hey, I'm down in Houston, man. Make sure whenever you're in the H, if you in Houston, man, stop by 3928 Old Spanish Trail, OST Liquor. Get you a double cup. Get you a bottle. Get you some E40 wine. You know what I mean? Holla at Coop and Justin and get you some knowledge on doing your thing right. Don't just go spend a bunch of money on the bottle and then, you know, you bullshitting on your mixes and everything else, man.
Absolutely.
Holla at these two guys. They're extremely knowledgeable, as you can tell from this conversation, man. But, hey, man, we got to continue to support our own. And y'all know I'm all about the city, man. So I'm OST Liquor. I might just drive way over here just to get my Hennessy. You know what I'm saying? Just for the off the strength. You know what I mean? And my Donnie motherfucking Houston, because
exactly.
We still serving
that.
Donnie
motherfucking Houston.
Yeah, man. Y'all come through, man, for a limited time and get y'all Donnie motherfucking Houston, man. But hey, Coop and Justin, OST Liquor. I'm Donnie Houston. It's Donnie Houston Podcast.
Donnie Houston.
Peace.